Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. We are so happy to be here for Christian Talk. And keep in mind, it's TNT time, and I'm here with Miss T. Hello there, Tusila. How are you today?
Hi. How are you, Brother T. Meyer?
I am doing just
but
fine.
I used to call you. When I first met you, I used to call you Brother T.
I know. Brother T. Meyer and Sister Tusila. And now it's Han, or Babe, and all that kind of good stuff. So anyway, here we go. We are here, and I would like for everybody to pick up your phones or grab your computers, as always. Invite your families and friends, and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Or you can just tell them to click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tusila on Facebook. If they see it, just click on our picture, and they can do that this week and listen from their computer. Tonight, they can do that. And anytime after this broadcast, they can still click on the post that you see of T. Meyer and Tusila or the link and just listen to the entire program again. Excuse me, again. If you want to listen to it a second time. Okay? Now, you can also see us on Facebook, YouTube, and many other social media platforms and internet TV shows. Just look for The Message of Life. Now, when you see us on YouTube and all of that, it's not Christian Talk. It's The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tusila McCain on HSBN.TV. And look for The Message of Life on other radio programs on the internet, like iHeartRadio, and there's many others. We're all over the place lately, so just check us out on the radios and other TV outlets on social media. Also, if you're looking for a place to worship, come and worship with us at Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786, and I'm going to repeat that. That's Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. And our services start at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday, 1:30 p.m. So come and join us. You will be blessed. In the meantime, don't go away. Here's Sarah and Russell Palmer in Mangle Tree.
changed my heart forever. I'll never be the same. My love for you, like the dust on my shoes, will never wash away. And if we never meet again in this crazy life, I know just where you'll be. And I will meet you under the mango tree, way up in the sky. I will meet you where pain is no more than there are no tears left to cry. I can't wait to see you at the mango tree in the sky. Service, love, and faithfulness were the greatest gifts you gave. And if we never meet again in this crazy life, I know just where you'll be. And I will meet you under the mango tree, way up in the sky. I will meet you where pain is no more than there are no tears left to cry. I can't wait to see you at the mango tree in the sky. No more death or war or suffering to see. No more chains to bear, we will be set free. No more tears of pain or loss of family. No more sin or strife at the mango tree. No more death or war or suffering to see. No more chains to bear, we will be set free. No more tears of pain or loss of family. No more sin or strife at the mango tree. I will meet you under the mango tree, way up in the sky. I will meet you where pain is no more than there, no tears left to cry. I will meet you under the mango tree, way up in the sky. I will meet you where pain is no more than there, no tears left to cry. I can't wait to see you at the mango tree in the sky. No, I can't wait to see tree in the sky.
Hallelujah. You're listening to Christian Talk, and it's TNT time on Christian Talk.
That was so,
and you know,
Pastor, beautiful.
That's a nice song, isn't it? Beautiful. And they were a guest. You remember when they were a guest on our show, and they were such a blessing. Both of them, such a blessing.
It was so beautiful. Because I think about
that
the tree
nice.
Of life, and I know it had to, you know, do with them and their trip to one of the African countries where they met the king under the tree, and then they were saying
right.
they'll meet him again. If they don't see him again, they'll meet him again in the kingdom under the mango
Amen.
Tree. And I
yes.
that was just beautiful.
That's beautiful.
I really enjoyed
That's
that.
Nice. Yes, indeed. And wait a minute, hold on. What do you hear that, Pastor Tosila? What's happening? What? Oh yeah. Yes, indeed. You guessed it. It's that time, everybody. What can we say? It's time for a TNT moment. And even though we call it a TNT moment, it usually lasts for longer than a minute. But nevertheless, it's a TNT moment. So, Pastor Tecila, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, before we go into that, I want to make the – can you hear me really clear?
Yeah, really clear.
I wanted to make it known that that's T singing all those ba-da-ba-ba-da-bops. And a lot of people ask us, is that take six? No, it's take one. Doing all the vocals, take one on all the ba-da-ba-ba-da-bops. And I think it sounds so good. Yeah, and
well,
a lot of people think it's take six. But praise the Lord for the gifting that he has gifted you with. And today is really, we're going to be talking about the power of words. And we're going to start off with Hebrews 5, 1, 13 through 4. And it says, for everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Words are always being tried. You know that when you meet someone, from the time you say hello to them, words are being tried and digested. But the best way to gain from it is to chew it yourself. That's what I encourage everybody. You know, a lot of times people want to listen to other people's revelations and what God showed them. Oh, man, Pastor T told me a master revelation today, and it was really good. And I was like, I wonder if he's going to put it in or is he going to speak on it? But it was really a good revelation. But most of the times, the Lord wants us to get the revelations for ourselves. He wants us to go in. And he wants you to be able to partner with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit show you different things. And that way you are guaranteed health and safety. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Your words change. Your understanding change. Your thoughts change. You no longer think like we used to when we were teenagers. You think things or speak vain words. You have control as an adult over your mind and your mouth. You can fully distinguish good from evil. You are in authority and you fully become a son. When you labor in the word and travail in prayer, God has something for you when you do that. When you are travailing in prayer and laboring in his word, you will enter into the rest God has for you. You will feed on the meat of the word. John 6:27 says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat that endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him has God the Father sealed. You know, God sealed the Lord, and he wants to make sure that we're all sealed. How do you labor, though? You have to ask that question. How do we labor? We labor in the word. We labor by studying and meditating on the word day and night. Meditating on the word is not cheap. And the word is not cheap. You know, you might get some Bibles for cheap here and there. Or someone may have given you one, but the actual word of God is really not cheap. We live in a world which a lot of things contradict the word of God. And you guys see that all the time. And immorality ravishes the streets. And it ravishes the media, and school campuses are ruled by the words of the enemy. And even when we hear things on TV, mostly in see things written on posts, sometimes you have to just close your eyes to some of these things, because mankind, we are all born sinners and we are in need of a Savior, and we're hearing words of negativity that opposes the pure word of God daily. we are all hearing and seeing things that is really not of God. So when we come into Christ, guess what we are supposed to do? We are to purposefully direct our thoughts to dwell on the Word of God. So that, I don't think a lot of people teach the people in church that they have to purposefully meditate and dwell and keep our thoughts on the Word of God. And we are to meditate on the Word of God day and night. If you leave your thoughts empty, guess what? The devil will come back to fill it for you. If you want to know God's personality, his views, his thoughts, then read his word. God's word is seven-dimensional, and it unfolds in layers and in depths. Psalms 12:6 says, "The word of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Isaiah 55:1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, or come, everyone that thirsts, come you to the waters. And he that has no money, come you, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the things where I send it." You know, with people, nothing is new in the word of a person. When you meet someone or you've known someone for a while and you hear them speaking, if that person has not changed, then nothing has changed. Their words are the same. Their actions are the same, and everything is the same. And sometimes when you say that we know someone, we are referring to knowing the words of the person. If you wish to describe someone as being bold or intelligent, it is in his word. No one has ever seen God without knowing his word. God is his word. When you believe in his word, you believe in him. His word is powerful. His word is spirit. His word is life. The scripture says that the world were formed or framed by the words of his mouth. He spoke his word, and everything we see today came into being. You can identify your mother, your friends, or the president of the United States or any country that we've known by their words. You can tell a lot about a person from his words, even if they are lying. You can tell that they are not comfortable with themselves.
Amen.
And that they feel like they have to lie. You can easily know if a person is a friendly person, courageous, or gentle. Now, by the same way, the word of God is also depicts God's personality. You can also tell who he is and his character, which can also become our personality and the characteristics in Christ. Romans 12:12 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind." The word is the only thing that renews your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You really want to be in the perfect will of God? A lot of people say that they do. Well, here it is, the word. God is his word. The word also says, "But be ye transformed or changed into what the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus is." That's what you're changing into, the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart." God knows us all through and through. The word is so sharp that it divides the soul from the spirit, and it ultimately makes you understand. The word causes you to have understanding. And the Lord says, with all you're getting, get understanding. You know, a lot of times a lot of wars start and fights and everything because people don't get a chance to understand the other person. And the Lord is saying, get an understanding and live in an understanding in the word, and then you can understand others. When you are operating from your soul, you can understand when you're operating from your spirit. Which one? Are you in your flesh? Are you conducting business in the flesh? Are you speaking to people from your flesh? Or are you speaking from your spirit, man? See? You got to have an understanding in your approach, even with people. And when you follow his word, it leads you to a journey of exploits in life. Even if you have difficulties, always allow your inner spirit to guide you to obey his word. That's what you stand on. That's life.
Yes.
That's everything that we have. That's the only thing that we have. But God is his word, so that's all we need. You know, behind every word of God is the power to accomplish it. That which it says, anything in that God's word, behind his word is the power to accomplish anything. That which it says, if God said it, it is so. It shall be so, and it shall be accomplished. Because he said it, that which it is said, Jesus made it plain. He said, my word, it is spirit, and they are life, which means God is not speaking just to get attention. When he speaks joy, it's sent forth. That's life. Mm-hmm. God is trying to get us on that same plane that he can trust your word to be true and filled with life. Jeremiah 1:12 says, God himself stands over and watches over his own word, making sure it is fulfilled. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall ever be without power or impossible of fulfillment, because God is his word. You know, Brother T, through the words of our mouths, we frame our own walls also.
Yes.
A lot of people don't realize that, as people, knowing or unknowingly, frame our own world by our own words. And what does it say in the word that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? Because we're speaking what's in our heart. We're framing and we're causing things to occur around us because we are speaking the words that's in our hearts. We, too, have the ability to call those things that are not as though they are. We as Christians have more power than we utilize positively, not than we think, but that we utilize. Because we don't understand that words have power. Sometimes we cause our own demise. While all along the Lord is asking us to speak those things, not just to say anything, but the word of God. Then he will watch over his word to perform it. What are your thoughts on these words, on the subject of words, Brother Jesus?
Yes. Well, the power of words, man, that is something, and you just gave the ultimate word, and that's the word of God. And there's no word like the word of God. And I'll go on and talk about that after this. Here's Cindy Evans, Use Me. Hallelujah. Use me, Lord. Use me. And that's the cry of many true believing Christians. We're asking the Lord to use us. Use us now, Lord, as we speak on the power of words. Thank you, Pastor Tasila. And we're just going to start. I love it that you started with the word of God is the ultimate word. That God is his word. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God created words and languages.
He did, and I wanted to bring out something, Pastor T, before you went on. I wanted to tell you about this one scripture, because a lot of times people feel like, what is going on? Why is everything being prolonged? And God has a word for the church for right now. And he says, mm-hmm. What is this proverb that you have in the land of Israel, which is the church, saying the days of the Lord are prolonged and every vision faileth? Tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand. And this is something that the whole church, I pray, that it goes out to everybody, because the Lord is saying that the days are at hand and the effects of every vision is starting. For there shall be no more any vain visions nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord of God. So we're about to see the actions of God come, and him not just someone just talking and saying things, but God says that all at the same time, I'm going to speak, and you're going to see the action of my hand all at in the same hour. And that's all I want to say. God is about to perform the actions of his word before the whole world.
Yes. And that's something, the Lord establishes his word. Like the scripture said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And God created words and languages and the understanding of words and languages and also the knowledge of words and languages for the purpose of communication, for his people to communicate with him and with each other and with creation. When God gave his word to man, he gave them power and the authority that comes with his word. That's what he gave mankind in the beginning. He gave his word with his word, its power and authority. But because of the fall of man, God's full, pure, and true word did not remain in man because of the fall. Only words through which we are able to communicate with God and each other did remain. So we were still able to communicate with each other and able to communicate with God, but his full, pure, powerful word did not remain in man after the fall. So man still has words, but their words are fallen words. The languages we speak now in the earth are fallen languages. The words have been cursed because of the fall of Adam and Eve. Our language is so far away from the pure word of God, the real word of God, straight from the heavens. And because words came from God, words still have a certain amount of power. Although man has corrupted God's word, although he's corrupted God's word of communication, nevertheless, God left words of communication on the earth because he still wants to communicate with us. God still has his pure, true word that is slowly but surely being instilled or being installed and instilled in his true believers. Yes, his pure word, the same word from the beginning, he is slowly but surely putting it in his true believers, because we will need the true and pure word of God in us in order to preach, teach, and prophesy to the world. Mark 16,
right.
verse
we have
15
to be
and 16.
From the word of God. Amen.
Absolutely. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those are words, the word of God. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. If they don't believe your words, which is the word of God coming from within you. Satan has corrupted words upon this earth for many years. His agenda is to bring forth even more lies, deceptions, and mockeries so that he can turn as many people away from the pure word of God. Satan brought forth curse words and filthy words in order to keep our communication with each other as an abomination in the ears of God. God wants us to have his word in us so that when he speaks his word to us, it is just as important and just as powerful as when we speak his word back to him. God created the gift of tongues for the purpose of to communicate with him in his pure, clean, holy, positive, and spiritual language. He gives us the language of heaven to those who can receive it and believe it. 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. When we speak in tongues, we are speaking in words, God's words. God's word is given to those who have learned how to connect their spirits to the Holy Spirit so that they are able to speak freely without distractions to God, to our God, our Father, our King, our Creator. And so that we can speak to those who hunger for God's word. It's also for that, so that we can speak to people. I'm talking about speaking in tongues. So we can even speak to people, the word of God through the gift of interpretation of tongues, which could be praise, worship. We could be saying all of this. It just takes someone to interpret. We could be praising the Lord, worshiping him. It could be prophecy. It could be a prayer, a warning, or instructions, and godly directions for his people when it is interpreted. Because when we speak in tongues in public, there must be an interpreter, which is someone who has the gift of interpretation, not someone that just get up and call themselves interpreter. You have to have the gift of interpretation just as much as you have to have the gift of tongues. There are rules when it comes to the speaking and interpretation of tongues. And Paul gives us these rules in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27 through 27 and 28. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. In other words, just speak quietly to the Lord within yourself. Keep in mind that the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues is given to us for a purpose, and we must use these gifts as with all the other gifts of God according to his will. Just keep in mind and try all spirits that speak to you, though through people or in any other way, because even our fallen natured words has a certain amount of power. Remember that. Words can hurt. Our words can hurt you. Our words can tear you down. Our words can cause fear and depression. Our words can control you and keep you in bondage. Our fallen words can also beat you up. I remember when I was in elementary school, my teacher said that she can tongue beat us. She said, I can tongue beat you. She told us of an example of how to tongue beat somebody. She gave us an example of how it was done. And all of my classmates could relate to it because we either received a tongue beaten ourselves or we witnessed someone being tongue beaten. I know I did. I saw it happen to one of my classmates. The student did something wrong, but instead of the teacher sending her to the principal's office, she just talked to her in front of the class. And the words of the teacher started to penetrate my classmate's heart until she started to cry. I'm sure that she would have rather been paddled or expelled from school than to face this humiliation. The teacher never hit her, shoved her, or pushed her. She just talked to her. She tongue beat her, and it worked. A father or a mother can tear a child down with their words. They can speak words that demean their children. They don't realize it, but their negative words can bring forth resentment. He can cause the child to no longer trust adults. Keep putting God's word in these children. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That includes how you speak to them and the words you say to them. Parents don't understand that they could be the very reason that their children rebel against authority, all because of your negative words toward them. They are actually placing a curse. Parents are actually placing a curse upon their children when they call them names, curse at them on a regular basis, tear down their ideas and goals that they want to achieve. Parents, keep in mind that if you call a child lazy, the child becomes lazy. If you call them stupid, they will become stupid. They will become whatever you have placed upon them with your negative words, because words have power. Husbands, a husband can simply destroy his wife with his words, just as a wife can destroy her husband with her words. So be careful when you speak negative to your spouse or over your spouse, a negative thing over them. You can cause your spouse to be justified in searching for someone who speaks positive to them and give them good words continually. You'll make them feel justified in doing that. A woman or a man that continually say things that your spouse wants to hear will make them feel attracted to this person. Then the next thing you know, your spouse has created a mental relationship with that person, which then turns into a mental and then physical act of adultery. But it started with your words, husband. Husbands, wives, be careful how you talk and communicate with each other, because only your spouse knows how to reach or touch that button inside of you that will cause you to curse them out or fight because of their words. So I say this, husbands, love and bless your wife with your words, actions, and deeds. As it is written in Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And also in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands, in the same way, treat your wives with consideration as a delicate vessel and with honor as fellow heirs of the gracious gift of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Don't hinder your prayers by speaking ugly. And wives, here goes, and wives, bless your husband with your words, actions, and deeds as well. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, nevertheless, each of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Women, don't go tell anyone how great your husband is unless you have told him first. Tell your husband first how great you think he is. then go out and tell somebody else. But especially do not go spreading, don't spread destructive words on how bad your husband is. Because once he finds out that you've been speaking bad about him, he will despise you. He will resent you. And that will cause a wall to build up against you. He will not trust you. Just keep Jesus as your foundation and keep the love of the Word of God as the main focus in your marriage. Here's a lesson for both the husband and the wife. Let your problems be between you, your spouse, and the Lord. And when it comes to speaking, keep your words positive about your marriage overall. Speak out loud about your positive, beautiful marriage in the air by faith. Speak it by faith. Although you both may be going through a rough patch in your relationship, still speak it. Speak it out loud by faith. Turn it over to the Lord. Stay hopeful in your marriage and speak blessings upon your spouses and upon your marriage in general. Don't give Satan any fuel, because he will use it against you. Keep speaking good words. Remember that words have energy. Words are spiritual. Words can encourage, strengthen, build you up, make you happy. God has made words so powerful that just by hearing someone speak, you can get excited about what they're talking about. Like when you hear someone speak about Jesus, those words can literally change your life. How can this be, Pastor T. Meyer, you may ask? Well, because Jesus is the Word of God, and his words are spirit and life. And Pastor Tecila, you mentioned this scripture, John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, or that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, Jesus said that himself. Even our fallen words, our fallen natured words can have a positive effect on you. Because your words can make you happy, and words can make you laugh. Just think about it. When you go see a comedian, a person standing in front of a crowd that can have all the people, all the audience holding their stomachs because they're laughing so hard, all because of what he or she is saying. Or have you ever met a person at your job that every other word is so funny that all you can do is laugh nonstop? Or hearing someone in your classroom telling jokes, or your close friend, you know, your close friend can always make you laugh. And especially your brothers and sisters who usually have that, you know, that family humor that only you guys understand, you know, they can always make you laugh. You can even meet someone on the street that can have you in tears laughing so hard. It is because words are spiritual. And they truly can affect you. They can affect your emotions, your mood, because God made it that way, for words to be effective. We speak words out of the atmosphere, and if our words are negative, then you allow evil spirits, demons, to take what you say and cause it to destroy a person. When you speak something negative, you're opening the door, a portal to spirits. If you speak positive and place a blessing upon your wife, your children and grandchildren and even great-grandchildren, then the angels of God will move according to God's will to make it come to pass. Not only do people hear your words when you speak, but demons hear them as well, and so do angels. But more importantly, God hears your words. So be careful what you say. And how you say what you say. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. There are spirits that like to cause a misunderstanding to your words, so that the words you spoke will be misunderstood and come across as a lie. or as boasting or as sarcastic or offensive in some way to someone. These spirits are called scramblers. They twist your words, causing them to mean something totally different from what you meant it to be. So when people hear you, your words comes across as a lie because of these scramblers, these scrambler demons. The word that we are to fully trust in and obey is the true and pure word of God, because the word of God is the ultimate supernatural vibrating sound of creative energy. It is life, intelligence, and power. His word is the living word. His word is alive, and it is powerful. And you read this one also, and I loved it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick. I mean lively. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Nothing can do that but the word of God only. Nothing can divide your soul and spirit except the word of the living God, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word is all-knowing. God's word dwells in you. Then you live forever. Just keep that in mind. If God's word dwells in you, then you automatically, you're going to live forever, because God's word is alive. According to 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth, means continually live, and abideth, continually abide forever. Allow God's word to be in you, so that you can overcome all things, so that you can learn to love, so that you can allow Jesus Christ to be formed in you, so you can have truth, so you can have life in you, faith, hope, joy, strength, so that you can be a people of praise, worship, so that you can become powerful prayer warriors. Have his word in you so that you can have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I hope you got that. I hope you got that. Praise the Lord. Here's Big Daddy Weave.
Broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before you. Yeah. can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
You are listening to Christian Talk, and it's TNT time right here on Christian Talk. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm Pastor Tasila, and we're coming to an end again. Man, it seems like time really flies. Do you have a prayer or anything that you want to leave the people with?
Well, I do want to say something about a visitation I used to have with this lady and her 2, 3, or 4-year-old son. And it was like I went over there several times. So it was several times that the lady would say to her son that she actually could see him at 3 and 4 years old. She said, "You are so bad that I could see that you're going to be running down the street and the police is going to be chasing you and you're going to have a gun in your waist."
Wow.
And I used to tell her all the time, I said, "Why do you say that about him?" Because I could tell he's just a gangster or a thug or whatever she called him. And I said, "You really shouldn't say stuff like that," you know, all the time. Every time I said it over 8 times to her. And she died when he became 12 years old. But by the time he was 16 years old, he was running down the street with a gun in his waist, and the police was chasing him. And I've seen this happen over and over with parents speaking things because we're kind of dismissive when it comes to our words, and we feel like it's our children, so we could say, you know, whatever we please. But sometimes we're speaking. Even I see when parents are praying for their children, they'll bring up all the wickedness of them. And okay, but still, you don't have to say that that's what they are. If you said that's something
right.
that they have done, that's different. Let's get them out of this. But to say they're just this, they're always this, they're not. Because you want to change, yet you're pronouncing wickedness on them. You're agreeing with the enemy
right.
that that's what they are. And so I don't like that. We have to agree with what God says we are. We are the righteousness in Christ, and the Lord is the covering. And some of these kids, they are bad, or they appear to be bad, because the enemy is after them because he knows the call that's on their lives and that God has called them. He sees that that the Lord has called the parents, and he wants to stop the children from becoming the next generation that's going to wipe him out or serve God. And so that's why we have to be supportive with our children, be supportive with our mouths towards all humans. Even if we see things that we know to be wrong, we don't have to agree with it, but we don't have
right.
to pronounce it over them either. We can say,
exactly.
"Let us pray," so this thing will be gone from them. You know,
that's right, because the parents have the power to reverse it. So even if you have been speaking negative over your child, reverse it. Don't do it anymore. Now turn it around, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, start speaking blessings upon your children. Lord God, bless the parents and bless the children. We're running out of time. Any other last-minute thing? We got about a minute left. Anything else?
No, I just want to just say that we all have to watch our words and praise God for what he's about to do. He's about to watch his word and perform it over the earth, because, you know, God says his word did not go out void and it shall not return to him void. And he's about to, you're about to see some actions in living color. As the dark grows darker, the light is arising. So stand in the light so that you can be seen by the Lord. Amen.
Keep walking. Praise the Lord. Thank you for tuning in. Praise the Lord. Thank you for tuning in. And we will be here next week. Remember, we're here every week at 8 p.m. Pacific time. So check your time zone and dial in. The number is free, and we'd love to see that you dialed in or listen from your computer. Either way, receive the blessings. Good night. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.
God bless. Good night.